Folks, it's time for the message. And today we're coming from Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm. I'll give you a minute to look for it. 119th Psalm. And we're starting with the ninth verse. The ninth verse of Psalm 119. And it reads, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." Amen. The topic for today is keeping clean in an unclean world. Keeping clean in an unclean world. You know, we are at a time where physically we are focused on cleanliness. We are focused because of a virus on making sure we wash our hands. We are doing those things that we were raised to do, but somehow most of us strayed away from the level of cleanliness that we are doing now. We are watching where we go. We are watching what we touch. We count the number of times that we might touch our face, and we have decreased that, because we do know that one method of transmission of this virus is through touching the face. We make sure we have masks on when we go out and around people to protect them and to protect ourselves. We are focused on being clean. We have wipes that we use to disinfect things. We have spray that we use to disinfect things. We are more focused on cleanliness than we have ever been in our lives. And I think the reason that we have gotten good at this is because we are focused on it, my brothers and sisters. Now think about it. If we focused on keeping ourselves spiritually clean as much as we do keeping our environment physically clean, we'd all be in great shape. We'd all be in great shape. So the topic today is keeping clean in an unclean world. In this psalm, David gives us a few tips on keeping ourselves spiritually clean. And the tips I will give you, let me go ahead and give you the outline now so you can write them down. The first point is seeking God with our whole heart. With all of our heart. That's a step in keeping ourselves clean before God. Second point is hiding God's word in your heart, in our heart, hiding his word. And the third one is meditating on God's instructions, meditating on his instructions. Now, again, this is David talking. And in that ninth verse, he says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" How can a young man keep clean in an unclean world? We think about what we are facing today in the world. We are facing a world where lying has become the norm. You know, there was a time when we would tell our children to look up to certain people because of their position in society or their position in the government, but how can we use people as role models who endorse lying, who endorse hatred, who endorse so many things that are not right? How can a young man cleanse his way? We live in a time where it's okay to lie as long as nobody gets hurt. It's okay to steal as long as nobody is looking. It's okay to do so many things that we know are not right. So how can a young man cleanse his way? Titus verse 1, 15th verse says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified from every good work. I like that 16th verse where it says in Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him. You know, there are a lot of folks who confess to know God, but I believe their works betray what they are saying. You know, a photo op with the Bible in your hand does not mean that you know God. Doesn't even mean that you know how to hold the Bible. But that's a subject for another day. So how can a man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. In Psalm 119, verse 9. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What the author is saying is that your word is my light. It shows me the way to go. Your word guides me when I cannot see. So then again, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. If we focus more on the word and less about what other people think or what other people do, we'll be in good shape. So look at verse 10, and that's that first point, seeking God with our whole heart. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. With my whole heart, that means total commitment, not just some of my heart, with my whole heart. If you try to keep the word half-heartedly, we will fail. Think about it. What army wants to go into battle with half-hearted troops? No, when we go into battle, we want warriors who are in it with their whole heart, who have brought in to the plan. We want people that we know have our back. So with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. You know, when a lawyer tested Jesus by asking him what the greatest commandment is in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. He didn't say partly mind, partly heart, partly soul, but with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. In John 14, 15, Jesus also said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we love him, let's keep his commandments. Now, there's something about the word that controls us. There is a controlling effect of the word. As the last part of verse 10 says, oh, let me not wander from your commandments. You know, when you wander, you get distracted. You get distracted. I know some of us wander. You know, I like to go visit the local hardware store every now and then. And I might go in with the idea of picking up one thing. But next thing I know, I have a dozen things in my cart because I've wandered through the store instead of going straight to what I needed to pick that up. It's just like going to the grocery store when you're really hungry. You know, you start picking up things that you've never picked up before. When we wander, we pick up more than we need. Isn't it this way when we wander from the word? We tend to pick up ways that are not of God. We have wandering eyes. We have wandering thoughts. And we lose focus. We lose focus on the Lord. So allow the Lord to control your heart and seek him with your whole heart and ask for his guidance and help to keep us from wandering from his commandments. And I like verse 11. This is a verse that many of us know, but can't always remember where it's found. Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, there is a correcting effect of the word. And this correcting effect of the word is to keep us from sinning. You know, when you're tempted, when you have the word in your heart, that means you have internalized the word. That means you keep the word in the forefront of your mind and in your spirit. So when we're tempted, the word will convict us. When we're tempted, the word will control us. And when we misstep, the word will correct us. There is a correcting effect of the word. And David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, most of us know David's history. And we know that he was not a perfect person, just like none of us are perfect people. He did slip. He did commit a major sin with a woman named Bathsheba. But he allowed the word to correct him. He allowed the word to convict him. He allowed the word to control his life. My brothers and sisters, we live in a world where things are permitted. And the excuse is usually everybody's doing it. I think back to when I was a teenager and I wanted to go places because others were going there. And I would throw out that phrase, everybody's doing it. And I can remember my father sitting there saying, if everybody jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? So we live in a world where it's so tempting to do things just because others are doing it. But is it the right thing to do? David had so many challenges in his life, but he hid God's word in his heart to control him, to convict him, to direct him, to correct him. Isn't it interesting that after Jesus was baptized, that Satan tempted him in the wilderness. And with every temptation, what did Jesus use? He used the word of God. If Jesus did it, so can we. So can we. It is so tempting to do things that we are not supposed to do. Just ask Adam and Eve in the garden. Psalm 119, verse 12. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. You know, we must proclaim the word of God. How can we declare his judgments if we don't know them? How can we declare his statutes or God's law or God's compassion or God's mercy if we don't know it? Remember that it takes boldness to step up and do what's right. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. It takes the boldness of Daniel when he confronted Nebuchadnezzar. It takes the boldness of Peter as he stood before the council and said, I'd rather obey God than man, even if he was threatened with death. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as all riches, as all riches. What he's saying is, I have claimed your testimonies as if they were precious, precious material. We must prize it. You know, if we have something valuable, we take care of it. We look after it. We make sure it's still there. We make sure it's protected. That's how we have to do ourselves spiritually. It's interesting how people respond when they think they're going to win something. If you won the lottery, how would you rejoice? If Publishers Clearinghouse knocked on your door and told you you had won the grand prize, how would you respond? We would be excited, and we would express ourselves with excitement. That's how David is saying, that's how he acted towards God's word. He was excited. There's a game show, Price is Right, when they call people to come on down. They all are excited. They don't just stroll down, they run down. They throw their arms in the air, and the audience is just cheering them on as they take every step, because they have the possibility of winning a great prize. Guess what? We all have won a great prize. And it's a prize that's available to everyone. And it's our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So since we have this relationship, let us develop this relationship. Let us not get slack with this relationship. Let us prize this relationship. How do we rejoice when we read the miracles in the Word of God? The parting of the Red Sea. I just get excited when I read that or even think about that, of how the Israelites, the Jews, were leaving Egypt, Pharaoh's army behind them and a Red Sea in front of them. It looked dismal. It looked like this was their time to go back into captivity. But God worked a miracle by opening up the Red Sea, and they were able to walk across into safe ground. We think about the parting of the dry of the Jordan River as the children of Israel went into the promised land on dry ground. We think about the victory at Jericho, where they defeated the inhabitants of the promised land, even though the inhabitants had fortified themselves. We think about three Hebrew boys who were saved from the fire. We think about Daniel in the lion's den. We think about Jesus feeding 5,000 folks with a few loaves of bread and a few fish. And then we think about the empty tomb at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because of that empty tomb, because of that miracle, we rejoice because we have a Savior. We have a Savior. Look at verse 15. And this is the third point, meditating on God's instructions. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will meditate. I will meditate on your instructions. I will meditate on your directions. I will allow your word to influence my moral conduct. I will not do as the world does, but I will strive to do as you would have me to do. I will meditate. I will pay attention to it. Now, when we meditate, most of us have to be in a quiet place. Most of us have to be in an uncluttered place. Most of us have to remove all distractions from us as we just meditate, as we pay attention to something, as we think about it over and over again, after we discover its meanings and try to apply it to our lives. I will meditate and I will contemplate your ways. I will give serious meditation and thought to your ways, O Lord. I will respect your instructions, O Lord. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I will quit relying on my own intellect to get me out of certain situations, and I will strive to depend on you, O Lord, because I want to be morally clean in this unclean world. You know, the word of God is our roadmap for life. A roadmap tells you where to go and where not to go. I heard a story one time about a captain of a boat who was trying to navigate his boat where there was rocks and low ground. He was asked, do you know where all the rocks are? And he answered, no, but I know where the deep water is. My brothers and sisters, we need to put our mindset on not to focus on the obstacles, but focus on the safety of the deep water. Focus on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Focus on our relationship with Christ. And the 16th verse of Psalm 119, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. I will be happy with you, O Lord. I will remember your word, O Lord. It is interesting when we internalize something, how it can come out of us when we aren't even thinking about it. Think about it. Have you listened to an old song from back in the day come on the radio, and you sit there tapping your foot, shaking your head, and start singing along because you remember every word in the song. You might not have heard the song for 10 years, but still it has great meaning to you. Have you been there, my brothers and sisters? I know I certainly have. Why do we remember those words? Because that song meant something to us once upon a time. That song had a message that we internalized. That song was something that we could relate to. Well, I share with you that we can relate to the Word of God. We can relate to the Word of God. And how much better is it? How much better is the Word if we don't forget it as soon as we read it? How much better is our life if we commit to doing things God's way? How much cleaner is our walk if we strive to keep ourselves clean in an unclean world? Again, in this psalm, David gives us a few tips on how to keep ourselves spiritually clean. We spent 3 months learning how to keep ourselves physically clean. We spent a lot of time making sure that we're isolated and insulated from the virus. Even had me looking on YouTube trying to figure out how to clean vegetables and stuff I got at the grocery store to make sure that they were clean. And I wonder if we spent that much time making ourselves spiritually clean, how much better off we would be. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for the power in your word. I ask you to bless these, your people, at this time, and prepare us to partake in our Holy Communion service. Amen. Amen.